And you've been standing for a while, and I'll ask you to stand just a bit longer. The good news is the gospel reading this morning, which comes from Luke, is real short, so you won't be standing long. The reading, as I said, comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it's the section of Luke's gospel that talks about Jesus' ministry on his way to Jerusalem. As you know, Luke is filled with the warnings and the parables of Jesus, and we've heard this one many times before, and it's the parable of the barren fig tree, and we'll be reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I found none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And he replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Oh God, as always, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together this morning, as we come together around your words, be pleasing and acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer, and for we ask it in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen. 3 Sundays ago, during our stewardship kickoff Sunday, Phyllis Borner, our stewardship chairperson, shared her big dream for our church. Do you remember? Her big dream is to see our beautiful sanctuary filled with people, with worshipers, every Sunday in both services, 9 and 11, and have them come and listen to our beautiful choir like this morning. And I know everyone in this room shares her big dream. And I believe that dream will become reality someday. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, right. Everyone in this room, I know, wants our church to grow. In fact, there isn't a church that doesn't want to grow, I don't think. All churches want to grow, and they are doing something about it. And we as a denomination called United Methodist Church, and also as a conference, California Pacific Conference, as a district, North District, and yes, as a local church, United Methodist Church of Thousand Oaks, we have invested a lot of financial resources, a lot of hard work, time, and energy on growing our church. I don't need to remind you of that fact. And yes, I know there have been some successes as a result, but let's face it, we are not growing as fast as we thought we would. After attending all those church growth seminars and workshops, even having the church growth coach and gurus to come to our church and helping us to teach us about how to grow our church, even trying different worship times on Sundays, trying new ministries one after another. And yes, all those resources that we purchased that supposedly is supposed to help us grow together. In fact, May and I were just talking about the other day if there's a money-back guarantee policy on those resources that we purchased, we might as well apply or request for those money-back guarantee. Church growth sounds easy, especially when you listen to so-called experts. It is a mystery. especially in major denominations like ours, where there's so much diversity. In fact, I can remember some 25 years ago when I was in seminary, we have begun talking about church growth. In fact, I particularly remember one book that I read in the seminary, and I still have it. It's by Bishop Richard Wilkie. Some of you might know that name because Bishop Richard Wilkie is the one who put the disciples study together along with a couple other people. And the book was called, And Are We Yet Alive? And he opens his book this way. He writes, our sickness is more serious than we at first suspected. We are in trouble, you and I and our United Methodist Church. We thought we were just drifting like a sailboat on a dreamy day. Instead, we are wasting away like a leukemia victim when the blood transfusion no longer works. The United Methodist Church is a church in crisis. If we don't do something about it, we will die. And you know, that is his opening line in his book that was actually published in 1986. And so since then, we've been talking about this, struggling with it. And yes, since then, there have been some churches that have turned around and have grown, and in fact, even become a large church in our denomination. And you know, one of the things that is easy to do is, when we see that happen, well, why is Adam Hamilton's church growing and ours is not? Why is that church down the freeway is growing, attracting all the young families and young people, and ours isn't? Why was Mark Batterson and his church's big dream in the Circle Maker fulfilled, and our dreams have yet to come to fruition? And yes, we need to learn from those successes. We need to glean from their ideas and successes. But still, trying to grow our own church is not an easy one. It's a struggle. And yes, at some point, we will get tired. And one of the things people do when we aren't growing and are tired is we play that easy blaming game. We blame it on the leadership. We blame it on theology. We blame it on the worship styles. We blame it on the bishops. We blame it on the systems. Why aren't we growing? And let's face it, we all have questions in life, including this mystery of church growth. Why? Why me and why our church? Why this and why that? And in the struggle of trying to make sense of something, we sometimes rush into fix things all by ourselves or force ourselves to say the right things that we may regret later on. Many people think if something happens or if something doesn't happen, there must be a reason. And that's just human tendency, human nature. Sometimes there are correlations as to why some things doesn't change. There are logical reasons that we can do something about it. But again, sometimes there aren't. There are no answers. Now, in Luke this morning, right before our passage that we didn't get to, I should have had that read also, but I think you all know the story that happened right before our reading. Again, it shows us our human nature, human tendency at work. And it's about those Galileans who were suffering a great deal at the time, including those 18 Galileans who were killed when the tower of some building in the city called Siloam fell on them. And so the people asked Jesus, why? Why are they suffering? Could it be that they are suffering a great deal because they all have done something wrong? In other words, because they have sinned? You see, people at the time grew up in the world where physical suffering was widely viewed as a consequence of sin. And so they asked Jesus, Jesus, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people in Jerusalem? And Jesus simply replied, nope, not in this case. Now here's the thing, if God was in the business of giving out judgments and curses in relation to our sins and reward us according to the good we do, can you imagine where you and I would be? Jesus says, not so fast. There are no simple reasons. And in that story, Jesus says, there are no simple answers to deep and complex questions in life, including our desire to grow. We all have to be careful trying to solve everything in life with quick fixes and shallow theological thinking and selfish thinkings. And so Jesus says, be careful here, because if you think you always have the answers to life's many mysterious questions, like you know who the bad are and the good are, the right or wrong, or in this case of church growth, if you think you have all the right answers to why church isn't growing, then you better think again. And then Jesus told this parable of a barren fig tree, this parable of a divine patience. Again, you heard the story that Larry read for us. It's a story about a man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard. He digs and digs and works to get that fig tree into the ground. And finally, he did. And year after year, he waits and waits and waits for the fig tree to bear fruit. Now, this vineyard owner, he loves figs. You know, for him, there's nothing sweeter, more delightful than a fig. So he watches that fig tree grow every year, every day. And he dreams about one day, eating that delicious fruit. And if he was a righteous person, he would even let the fig tree grow for 3 years before he even started looking for a fruit, according to Jewish tradition. And so this man has waited for another 3 years on top of that three. Again, day after day, he comes carefully looking for that first fig, that first fruit, almost tasting it on his mouth, in his tongue, the anticipation, and there is nothing. He sees nothing. Now let me ask you, how long can you wait? How long can you wait with a fig tree that is not bearing any fruit? How long can you wait with a church that is not growing? How long can you wait with the job? How long can you wait with your dream school? How long can you wait with a child? How long can you wait with a troubled relationship? With a life that is bearing no fruit? How long can you wait? How long can you wait for your big dreams? Your big dreams to come true? How long can you keep on praying the same prayer every day, every year, over and over again before you finally say, that's it, no more. I am done with that prayer. I can no longer go on with that prayer. And in other words, that fig tree is just taking and taking our time, taking from the earth, never giving anything back. That fig tree is just sort of sucking up all the resources of the soil, absorbing all the nutrients and the moisture of the dirt. And in the meantime, the grapevines in that vineyard are all crying out to the vineyard owner, how long? How long are we going to have to live with that fig tree? That fig tree is not just wasting a space. It's harming the vineyard. And day after day, this vineyard owner, you know, goes and frisks the tree for any signs for a fig. And finally, he comes to a decision. He tells this gardener, you know what, just cut the thing down. Just grab the chainsaw and let's at least make a firewood out of that tree. But this gardener, this patient gardener says, sir, let's wait. Let's wait one more year. Let me give it a try. Let me dig around it. Let me work with it. And by the way, there is this manure out there. You know, I can put manure on it. Now, I don't normally think about manure when I preach, but by blame it on Jesus, you know, because, you know, he's the one who has referenced it in his parable. But there is this manure just lying around there. Let me to put it around the tree. Let me work with it. Maybe it will help this tree to grow and make some fruits, the figs. Sometimes there are manure. People look at what's happening around the world as a nation and in their personal lives and are, again, tempted to say, just cut it down. Cut it down and maybe start over. It's not just bearing any fruits. In fact, I wonder if it will ever bear a fruit. I wonder if it even be a matter that anybody would notice if I just cut it down. Well, as you and I know, God looked at this world, at us, at the struggling fig tree, because we all are, in many ways, a struggling fig tree. And maybe within the heart of the Trinity, you know, there was a debate between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit about whether to work with that barren fig tree or just cut it down and start over. One more year. Nah. You said that last year. One more year. But there's Jesus who says, one more year. And the question is settled when Jesus comes to the vineyard. And instead of cutting down the tree, he allows himself to be cut down on a tree. He will be, in other words, another Galilean whose blood Pilate mingles with the blood of others. And there upon the cross, as he offers his life, the whole tower of our sinfulness, the weary weight of our brokenness, pain, and the tragedies comes crashing down upon Jesus' head. He was killed making an offering. But we don't believe in death without resurrection, right? That's why we're all here. And just a few Sundays ago, we celebrated the story of resurrection. And that story of on the third day, Mary and the other women come to the tomb, and there he is, or should I say, he is not there anymore. He is alive, the first fruits of a new, unfallen creation in a fallen world. In other words, the single grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, and now here are all these fruits. You are all the fruits of his death and resurrection. You see, God did this with Christ's death, and God can do it with our world, with our church, with our lives. Yes, there is manure. There is a barren fig tree. But Christ can work with that. God will save that which others often throw away. And what we think of as waste may actually be the means of salvation in life sometimes. And so those who think it's over, don't quit. God says one more year. You may be struggling through life's manure, but God says one more year. all of your hard work and sacrifices may never seem to bear fruit, but God says one more year. You may feel like you are always climbing up the wrong side of the mountain or the rough side of the mountain, but God says one more year, one more climb. You may think your church is the only church that is not growing, but God says hang in there one more year. You may say no more of this unexplainable tree that bears no fruit, or you may say I am done with this person, or maybe thinking that your life is not even worth living anymore, but God says one more year, one more year. Of course, one more year is a metaphorical one, because one more year may for God be like 1,000 years, as the psalmist says. 1,000 years in God's sight are like a day that has just passed by. Or in the case of Circle Maker's story and the legend Honi, it's 70 years, isn't it? It takes that many years for a carob tree to bear fruit. One more year. In other words, think long. Think long. Yes, we all have dreams. Not just any dreams, but big dreams. And you know, in Philistine, I have seen your dreams for your church and for your families and for yourselves. We have the list of all your dreams, and we are all praying hard that those dreams will come to reality soon. But here's the thing. If you are like me, we want our dreams to become reality overnight. We want our prayers answered immediately. But the key to dreaming big and praying hard and thinking long, says Mark Batterson in his book, again, is think long. Think long. In fact, I'm thinking of my previous church at Riverside First. About 5 years ago, a new member who just joined the church, his name is David. He walked into my office and wanted to talk about Stephen Ministry. And he has had a wonderful experience with Stephen Ministry in his previous church. And so he wanted that ministry started. But when I was there, we really had a hard time get it rolling. We didn't have the resources, and we didn't have the people volunteering to be trained and everything. And of course, 2 years ago, I left the Riverside First Church. When I came here, I talked to him from time to time, and I told him about this wonderful Stephen Ministry at UMCTO. I told him not to give up. And so David, for about 3 years, been working really hard. And then last fall, I talked to him for over something else, and David says, guess what, John? The Stephen Ministry at Riverside has begun, and it's going well. Think long. Think long about something that you think is something that our church needs. Don't give up. You see, we do live in a quick fix, always in the now culture. Now than ever before. In fact, I heard that Amazon is delivering the goods with the drone. That you can just click on Amazon and have your good. I don't think it's in Thousand Oaks, but in big cities, they can deliver the goods by drone in just a matter of a few minutes if you need it that bad or desperately. Again, that's the kind of world we live in, which makes a church really harder for us to change and grow. Now, we need to keep up with that kind of culture, but it's not easy. Having our problem solved at the push of the button. But this isn't the way it works with dreaming big and praying hard. We need to pray hard and long, Mark Batterson says, because prayer is like planting a seed, planting love and forgiveness. And we need patience, because what we are talking about is our dreams and prayer happening at the speed of a seed planted in the ground. It takes time. So we better have patience. Think long. Now, it doesn't mean that one more year of doing nothing and just sitting around. No, that's not where we're going with this. Because we are going to need to work even harder together. Remember that quote from last Sunday? Pray hard as if everything depends on God, and work hard as if everything depends on us. And the success of our church will not only depend on our prayers, but it will depend on our hard work as well. The success of UMCTO will require more people who are willing to work with the fig tree. Sometimes it may even be a work of moving the manure, working with a fig tree that is not bearing any fruits. It's a hard work. It will depend on our sweat and sometimes even blood. As I noticed during all church work last Saturday, there were some cuts and bruises. It will depend on our giving of hard work, our time and our financial resources. I know we live in a time where we wish we could have another day a week, another hour in a day, or another big raise, or a different job that pays more before we can give more of our time and our money to the church. But you know, if that is the case or the reason, we will never find the right time. We will never find the right time to give and to serve. In the meantime, again, it's always about one more year. Think long. So keep circling around your dreams. Pray hard. Think long. And Mark Batterson says one more thing. He says, the prayer doesn't just change circumstances. More importantly, it changes us. It changes our hearts. Prayer may not change our circumstances, at least not right away, but it changes us slowly. It doesn't just alter our external realities. It alters our internal realities so that we may begin to see with our spiritual eyes. It enables us to see beyond just the circumstances, beyond ourselves, beyond time. In many ways, it sort of becomes a byproduct of dreaming big, praying hard, think long. We become a new person. And so, my friends, we have to dream big, we have to pray hard, and we have to think long. Especially think long, because if we don't think long and have patience, we will all experience discouragements, we'll all experience frustrations and burnouts, and that will not be good for building up the kingdom of God. So let me just close you with a verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know, forget about everything I said. Just go home with this verse. Paul says, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. Can you read that with me one more time? So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time.
Do not give up.